We're almost there.
Cecilia had come to prefer Brunn's hands to others. She had no professional skill, but a very human affection to convey. Amazing how different she was from the girl who had thrown up in the lounge of Cecilia's yacht. It was hard to believe she had ever seemed a selfish fluffhead. Was it the adventure she'd had on the island, or just normal maturation? She had helped dress Cecilia, this time in clothes Cecilia could feel. Soft pants and shirt, a soft tunic, low soft boots. She had helped lift Cecilia into the hover chair. The inflated supports held Cecilia's head steady and gave her, she hoped, the look of someone disabled but alert. For now, the hover chair was locked down. Cecilia felt a moment's panic, but Brunn's hand stroking her hair calmed her. She hated herself for that panic. She could not get used to being helpless, blind, vulnerable. She wanted to be brave and calm.
It's all right. You are brave. It's just no one could be every single minute.
If this was what children could be like, she should have had children. Ronnie, whom she'd despised, and this girl, whom she had once dismissed as a fluffhead, had rescued her when adults her own age either didn't care or couldn't think what to do. She would have to revise her ideas about young people. Of course, when she herself was young, she'd known young people had sense. But looking back at her own idiocies later, she'd forgotten the generosity, the courage. Her stomach rolled. Without sight, she felt nausea and swallowed it nervously. The chair, unlocked, floated at Brunn's push through air that stank of fuels and hot metals and plastics, then into a smell of leather and dust. A vehicle, filling with people and luggage. Then a jerk and a swerve, and more movement she could not see. A cool current of air blew the hair off her face. Soon it smelled of mourning in the country, though a different country than she'd left. A pungent herb tickled her nose, teasing her with a vagrant memory. She should know that smell, and these others that crowded in. Pines, dew-wet grass under the sun, plowed fields, horses, cattle, goats. Cecilia breathed it in. Only a few weeks ago, she'd been trapped in the sterile room without even the scent of flowers. Now, she could eat and move a few muscles on her own and live in a place that smelled good. Finally, it all came together. The sharp smell of the purple-flowered herb, the broader, roasting scent of tall yellow flowers edging the road, the squatty, resinous pines of the dry hills and the lush grass of valleys. She knew which planet, of all the planets she'd visited, and she began to suspect the exact place. She knew when the vehicle turned where she had come. Her body had felt that sequence of swerves and bounces too often to forget it. Into her mind sprang the picture she had had so long on the screen of her study. The stable yard with its rows of stalls, the cats sprawled in the sun after a night chasing mice, the long house with its high-ceilinged rooms that were cool even in midsummer. She felt the hot tears running down her face.
Do you know where you are now?
Cecilia's shoulder came up, emphatic yes.
I'm home. I'm where I should never have left. Home on Rotterdam, at the stable I left to Meredith.
The vehicle they were in, the old farm van, rolled to a bumpy stop. She knew within 10 centimeters where they were, just far enough past the mud puddle that someone stepping out wouldn't land in it, pulled to one side to let the hay trucks get to the gate.
Near feeding time.
She smelled hay and oats and molasses and horses and leather. But it was going to be worse in a way. To be here, among horses and the people who cared for them, and be unable to move, to see, to talk, to ride. Pain and longing contended in her mind. She recognized that horse was not the same as either of the others. At least she had not lost her ear for horse voices. At least it was going to be better than that sterile nursing home. And they thought she had a chance of recovery, at least partial recovery. She felt the coolness when the hover chair reached the shadow of the entrance, up 3 steps and across the porch. The house smelled different. Someone here had cooked foods she didn't particularly like, and the downstairs hall didn't have the pleasant aroma of leather, but a more formal scent. Something floral, but artificial. But she recognized the machine oil smell. She had had the lift installed after struggling up the spiral stairs one too many times on crutches. That broken ankle, the third one. She wouldn't buy a hover chair then. Only old people used them. Brunn pushed her hover chair into the lift and slid the doors closed. The lift jerked and they were on their way upstairs. Cecilia wished she could see the upstairs passage, with the arched windows on either end and the shining wood floor. Or was it still shining?
You'll be in your own room. It's not the same, of course. The furnishings, do you want me to describe them?
Cecilia thought about that. She had such vivid memories of this room, every detail of fabric, every ornament on the shelf above the window. She wanted to sink back into that. And yet, the room sounded different and smelled different. She'd have that discord between the visual memory and the auditory reality if she clung to the past. Her shoulder jerked yes, and Brunn squeezed it a moment.
I'll bet you remember everything, and you wish you could keep it that way. But here's what it looks like to me. The walls are dark cream.
They'd aged. They needed a new coat of paint every few years to keep the precise tone Cecilia had chosen.
There's a medbed in place of yours. You'll be on monitoring a while longer. But the cover is one of those Reckian hand-woven blankets in green and gold and tan, with flecks of orange in the gold. The pattern's more an irregular stripe than anything else. The bed has its head against the far wall. The window over the yard will be on your left as you lie in bed. Is that right?
Cecilia signaled yes again.
Good. We didn't put anything on the windows. There's a wooden chest painted ox blood red against the wall opposite the bed, and a tall bookcase chest on the wall to the right next to that window. A couple of reproduction Darien side chairs we picked up in the city, and no rug in here at all.
Cecilia wanted to ask about the pictures on the wall. She had taken her Piucci originals, the portraits of her top horses, but had left behind the old hunting scenes. But Brunn said nothing about that.
Here are your clothes. Your new clothes, I should say. Your friends thought of trying to get your own, clothes you knew by feel and smell, but decided it was too risky. Brunn gave us a shopping list, and you're now equipped with the basics, in colors she remembers you wearing, including riding attire.
Riding attire? She couldn't ride. Might never ride again. For all she knew, she was bloated up to the size of Brunn's hot air balloon, and no horse could hold her up. She jerked her shoulder no.
Yes, you've got breeches and boots and a helmet for the very good reason that you are going to ride again. You are.
The fierceness of the young, who thought wanting something enough made it happen. Cecilia had heard that tone in her own voice when she insisted she would ride again after this or that accident. Then she had believed it. Now, she wasn't sure.
You're facing a time limit. One formal, the legal requirement to show competency before your estate is finally distributed, and one informal, before whoever did this to you finds you. So we aren't going to waste any time. You'll have a full schedule of rehab work every day, no vacations.
Cecilia thought about that, and her immediate wish to stretch out on that unseen medbed, and jerked her shoulder yes with as much emphasis as the earlier no. She was tired. But better to be tired than forever lost in this helplessness.
Except tonight. Most of your therapists are still in transit. We didn't want to make it obvious where you were if someone's keeping track of them, so they've had to take roundabout routes. So tonight, you can just rest.
Until that moment, she hadn't thought of pursuit. Brunn had mentioned it, but reality itself seemed hardly real. Now, with the familiar smells and sounds around her, the thought of being recaptured, returned to a blank prison existence, terrified her.
It's the wrong place, the obvious place. Anyone would know where I am. What fools!
It's all right. It's not as obvious as you think. Rotterdam has horses, but no advanced medical facilities. It's far from the logical place for someone in your condition. Your lifelong investments in Rotterdam, money, but also time and friendship, mean that few mouths will talk. And even if they do, Rotterdam lies far off the usual networks of transport and communication. They'll figure out it was Dad's yacht eventually. They'll think of Cerialis, and then Korholm, where most of the pharmaceutical research is done. They may send a query about Rotterdam, but I'm assured nothing will come of it, at least not for months.
Cecilia hoped Brunn was right. She would much rather die than go back to that non-life. Her earlier experiences in recovering from more minor injuries helped only a little. It had been 20 years since her last broken bone. Well, large broken bone. And longer than that since the near-fatal headlong crash in the trials. She had forgotten how infuriating it was to struggle, panting for what seemed like hours, in order to twitch something slightly, again and again until she was a quivering wreck. She had forgotten how much weakened muscles and ligaments hurt when forced to work again. She had forgotten how even the best therapists talked over their patients' heads as if they weren't really there. And she was tired. Bone tired, sore, short of sleep, because she woke in a panic night after night, afraid she was back in the nursing home. With so limited a communication system, she couldn't tell them that, and they'd decided she would sleep better alone. She was too old for this. She didn't have the resilience, the sheer energy, that she had had 2 decades before. She had not believed she was old, not the woman who could still ride to hounds. But now she believed it. If she had been able to talk, she would have said it. She would have argued, out of exhaustion and despair, that they were wasting their time. She couldn't talk. She could only endure.